Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Welcome to the revamped Wall Street Breakfast weekly briefing podcast. I am your host, Nathaniel Baker. This week, we're once again doing the Editor's Roundtable, featuring myself and three of my colleagues, Aaron Task, VP, contributor of content and co-host of Seeking Alpha's Alpha Trader podcast, Brad Olison, VP of News, and Stephen Alpher, Managing Editor of News, and the other co-host of the Alpha Trader podcast. Okay, another bullish week for stocks. The FOMO we've been talking about has quickly turned to POMO, from fear of missing out to panic of missing out, it would appear. The rally today after the surprising non-farm payrolls report, economists were expecting a decline, I think, of several million, and it came in with a positive number. I can't remember the last time a non-farm payroll report surprised this much, but markets love it. The S&P, Dow, NASDAQ, everything is rallying. S&P up right around 3,200. So a lot of highs being hit today, and there's a lot for us to get into. Let's start once again with Aaron. Aaron, what's your take on this?
Well, yeah, I was going to say it's FOMO on steroids, but I like the way you put it, POMO. I think that's a really great description. I mean, there's been, you know, a lot of people have been either actively fighting this rally off the March lows or passively just sitting it out. And you're starting to see, I think, you know, a week and a half ago when the S&P eclipsed the 200-day moving average, that was a trigger for a lot of people. And now there clearly is, certainly for a professional, you can't be underinvested or short this market. It's really incredible and impressive what the market has done. And now we're moving to a phase where, okay, the market was rallying on bad news and the anticipation of good news. Now we're getting some of this good news, right? You know, you mentioned the jobs numbers. Yeah, I think the economists only missed by, 8 or 10 million, as Stephen and I talk about on Alpha Trader in the next episode. But there's also, there's good news elsewhere. You know, the number of U.S. cases of COVID is down over 6% from the prior week, and testing is up, right? In New York City, and you and I are both in the New York City area, no new confirmed COVID-19 deaths for the first time since March. So I guess now the question is, can the market continue to rally on good news? But as we sit here today, Friday afternoon, it seems like all news is good for the market.
Yeah, speaking of the market, some of these virus plays, interestingly enough, were actually underperformers this week, a little bit of an outlier from usual. Bradley, you have more on that, right?
Yeah, I mean, with the exception of Zoom, Zoom has been like everyone stayed home play for quite some time. Their earnings were out earlier this week. Their guidance, I want to say that the same economic forecasters for the non-farm payrolls were probably the same analysts doing the estimates for Zoom. they were so far off, and it was extraordinary. I think some of the analysts, and I think maybe Steve can speak more to this, but some of the analysts said it was the best quarter they've ever seen for a company. There were guidance for revenues that would double some of the analysts' expectations. So it blew away out of the water in terms of that. Just to build on Aaron's point, that there is some good news out there. I found another funny line out there earlier this week that these Robin Hood stimulus checks are causing a short squeeze among the hedge fund managers. everyone's just kind of piling in to all these names, no matter what. The CBOE's equity put call ratio is sitting at the lowest since 2014, which shows that, there's just not a whole lot of worry out there, I guess most of the retail traders. But it's just funny, just considering, I think we were just sitting here 3 weeks or more ago having David Tepper and Stan Druckenmiller weigh in and just throw cold water on the rally. And we're up 10% in the S&P since then, and even more so after today.
Right, and remember Bill Ackman's famous, CNBC rant about how hell is coming. We're up 35% since then. It is amazing, how for the moment at least, the newer, the younger investors, the Robinhood crowd, and Warren Buffett also, right? Airline stocks were huge winners this week, and, you know, he sold out of them entirely. It's hard for me to think that those type of players are going to be on the losing side of a trade for a long time, but right now, it seems like the youth is being served, at least judging by those Robinhood numbers.
Yeah, it really looks that way. I have not looked into the Reddit, the Wall Street Bets Reddit, in a little while, but I imagine things there are quite hectic. What else do we have in the world of corporate news, Stephen?
I'd like to go back to the Buffett thing for a minute and the Robinhood, the big story about the Robinhood players being long, why Buffett sold at the bottom. The airlines were a small position for Buffett. Apple's still far and away, I think, his largest position, and Apple is through the roof. So let's not trash Warren Buffett too much.
No disrespect intended, Stephen, for sure. Right.
Yeah. All right. So there's that. And I would also Citron was out this morning, who talks a lot, but he's a sharp player, and he's saying basically Buffett's right, he's just early. And I think he was particularly talking about American Airlines, saying that balance sheet is still way underwater. He's predicting a round trip for that stock back to 10 or back to single digits. I'm not sure where it's trading at the moment, probably over 20. The Robinhood traders are winning for now, but I wouldn't bet against Buffett for long.
Yeah, who knows where this is going to go. I mean, at some point you figure people might start taking a little profit off the table here, but...
It was all airlines all week. It wasn't just American Airlines. It was United, Delta. You saw Boeing, Alaska Air, and you even had some of these peripheral players like Global Entertainment and Gogo, which are these, you know, internet providers for aircraft, all building off that TSA data and that kind of bullish. All these airlines also provided strong July numbers. So they're kind of looking a little bit further on, and those clearly swept the top 10 in terms of the performance this week, most of those names. And there were a couple shopping retail names, Kimco, again, one of these retailers, and Simon Property also did well. But I think going back to last week on the prepper trade that we briefly touched on, you know, we can't ignore the early part of this week where you saw some heavy moves in companies like Digital Ally, which, you know, that's the symbol DGLY, which, you know, provides a lot of these cameras for police officers. You had Axon Enterprise hit an all-time high this week. That's the taser manufacturer. Semtrex, also a surveillance name. Vissel Technologies, Vislink, rather, Technologies, VISL. That was up 300%. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't just airlines. There were a lot of these peripheries related to a lot of the unrest that we can't talk about. Those are the two big stories, right? The unrest was huge. The unemployment numbers obviously can't be understated on Friday.
Right. Well, Brad, we also last week we talked about, you know, the rotation into value and some of the smaller cap names. And then what's interesting, you know, Nathaniel asking about profit taking, it's like the people are maybe putting new money to work in some of these less well-trotted areas, but they're not selling the big cap tech either, right? So it's like there's a rotation happening into financials and industrials, small cap, value over growth, et cetera, but it's not like growth is lagging. I mean, the NASDAQ 100 hit an all-time high this week. So you do have to wonder at some point, do people say, okay, like, let's not be piggish here.
Yeah, like to your point, is it rotation or is it just new money coming in? Because, you know, there isn't that sell-off in the FANG names yet. I thought it was a pretty interesting, just looking at the dynamics of the S&P this week, it was a pretty asymmetric move. You had basically, to your point about not a lot of names selling off, a fifth of the S&P members were up in the double digits this week. Meanwhile, just 50 of the members had a loss of 1% or more. Wow. So, I mean, that kind of tells you the degree of tilt that you had in some of the, in where the money is going. It's going to all the names that have not performed well over the past few months.
Right. That's an important point. Yeah. A lot of bearish people have been carping about kind of the narrowness of the rally, and it's anything but of late. It's a very broad rally. Ryan Detrick, who's been an alpha trader a couple times, noted the same thing, and he said when you see this broad of a move, this many S&P 500 stocks above their whatever 20 or 40 or 50 day moving average, it bodes very well for future returns.
This all begs the question, what can trip us up here? And things are so bullish. I mean, this has got to be the most bullish that they've been, obviously, since pre-COVID. But what maybe, which is maybe setting us up perfectly for a drop, but you know, usually these are now we're starting into the slowest months of the year, the summer months, the old adage about selling in May. And by the way, if you followed that, then the joke's on you this year. But, so the question is, you know, what could possibly trip us up at this point? Maybe a second wave of the virus? I don't know. Have you guys thought about that at all?
I mean, unfortunately, I have to think about a second wave, especially given the mass protests we're seeing in so many cities around the country, as Brad alluded to earlier. And the curve hasn't bent, but it's, you know, it's flattened for sure. Overall. So hopefully it continues to come down. I honestly think right now the bigger risk is that the good news is priced in and we do see just some normal profit taking that you would expect after a huge move. And Stephen mentioned Ryan Dietrich of LPL Financial, and you know, he put out the stat that a lot of people cited this week. As of Thursday's close, it was the best 50 trading day rally in the S&P 500's history since it became 500 stocks since 1957. And then he goes on further to say that the other past records, like with 1982 was the one, the prior record, the market has been up 6 months and 12 months later, right? So we are seeing a broadening out. The technicals look great. You can always find something to be concerned about, but right now, you know, the market seems to have a tremendous amount of momentum.
Yeah.
At some point, the reality of consumer spending and profits are have to take hold. And I think what you're seeing now is quite a bit of pent up demand. We saw, you know, massive rise in the savings rate a couple of months ago. That never lasts for long in the U.S. And people are going to spend as places open up. But over time, I don't know whether it's 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, whatever, the reality of having to get 40 million unemployed back to work may hit, and that could kind of lead to a softening in the markets. I think today what you saw in the employment report and what you might see in coming months is kind of the easy large numbers of jobs coming back. But of those 40 million jobs that are lost, you know, maybe 20 million comes back real easy. But what about those other 20 million? They're not coming back particularly quickly.
Especially if you don't have the stimulus, right? The stimulus is a huge aspect of that. Some of the analysis I read on the heels of that unemployment report were exactly that it was the PPP that was helpful in bringing all those furloughed workers back. And so in the absence of that stimulus, you know, what kinds of figures are we likely to see?
Yeah, that is the one thing for sure to look out for. All right, that takes us to the second part of our podcast, which is where we discuss our favorite stories, our favorite articles that we saw, and in some cases, perhaps even edited on Seeking Alpha this week. Aaron, why don't you go first?
Before I get into any specifics, I will just note that, you know, many of the most popular stories on Seeking Alpha in this past week have a bearish tilt. You know, Friday's most popular story is "Be warned, market momentum is fading." Bubble, any bears left? Asking for a friend. Don't gamble in the markets. And then a story that was still the most popular, one of the most popular last week, continues this week. What if you came prepared for a bear market and no one came? Which I guess is a little bit of a counter move. But you know, I think Brad mentioned the put call ratios. You know, I'm surprised they are as low as they are, because it seems like anecdotally there's a lot of negative sentiment. There certainly is that on Seeking Alpha. But you know, we are starting to see more of the stories of, you know, individual stocks coming back into play. There's a story about NVIDIA, that it's not too late to buy NVIDIA. Andres Cardinal, sure. You know, that's, you know, there is a little bit more of that starting to perk up. You know, people I think are starting to, those who've been in the bunker are starting to come out and looking for some individual names. So that is one particular story I would recommend.
All right. Brad, what about you?
You know, last week we mentioned the interesting aspects of the Jenner clan. So this week we had another wrinkle. Coty, again, had a variety of news associated with them. You know, they signed a deal with KKR. That sent shares soaring. So you coming off of the heels of that bad news on Friday, where the Forbes article kind of retracted their billionaire status for Kylie. You know, strangely, this week they just ranked her the top celebrity in earnings, which is just very confusing to follow. But Coty was one of our bigger gainers, you know, in the early part of the week off the heels of KKR. They named a new chairman, and they also signed they put out a filing. They're in talks with Kylie's half-sister, Kim Kardashian West, who may be more well-known. Yeah, and I think I remember, Nate, you were little unfamiliar with some of the Jenner family, but yes. Kim Kardashian West, I think, is a bigger name for some of our listeners. And, you know, so Cody got a nice little bump there, but it's been a rough couple weeks for that name. I thought that was mildly amusing, although probably not our most heavily read item.
Yeah, Bradley Olison on the celebrity beat here.
I'm sensing a regular.
Yes.
Let's hope so. And I can learn something since I don't know many of these people. Though Kim Kardashian, I do know, not personally.
Setting up for my spinoff.
There you go, Stephen. What about you?
I saw an article by Michael Gayed about interest rates, and we really haven't talked about interest rates for a while. Everybody just feels like the Fed's going to sit on them forever at 0%, but. The bond market did crack a little bit this week. It was probably 10-year yield was probably treading along between 55 and 65 basis points. It's probably up to about 95 basis points as we speak. Everyone just assumes central banks have things under control. They can print at will. Governments can spend at will. And the days of James Carville, I want to be reincarnated as the bond market, so I'm in charge of everything, are ancient. But you know, what if the central banks kind of lose control of that? That's something to think about.
And that's something today was interesting. The 10 2-year spread was at a new, like, what, multi-year high. So that's, I mean, that bodes well, like, I mean, that for the treasury market and banks broadly. I think some of the KBW bank index was outpacing, you know, even though we had a huge rally today in equities, banks were outpacing them 2-1.
Yeah, and I did see a story earlier in the week also about the yield curve steepening. So the market is starting to price in higher rates now, or at least less free money, I guess, from the Fed. So
I think right now rising rates are seen as a good thing. Yeah. Right? It's reflation. Like, we're not going to be going to deflationary spiral. We're not going to go negative on rates. But if it keeps going up, certainly at the pace that it's gone up in the last week and the dollar weakening alongside of it, that could be a cause for concern. But I think we're still in the euphoria stage right now of all news is good news.
Yeah, and for me, favorite stories here, to Aaron's point, taking the contrarian angle here again, this is Viktor Dergunov. Don't get too comfortable. The next wave is coming. He published this last night, not well timed, but it basically discusses the case of a second wave of this coronavirus. And he is, a little bit fearful, and, you know, he makes the case for gold here. And it's a good read, and it's something that, you know, there's a lot of comments on it today, obviously. And it so far hasn't aged well, but watch this space just in case.
Yeah, and gold's having a rough day today. So
But he has a point. Today. He has a point. Cases in Texas, Florida, and Arizona, I think, hit their highest new cases of the entirety of this pandemic just this week.
Yeah. All right. So bullish stuff all around.
The only thing we haven't mentioned, not the only thing, but one thing is, you know, the IPO market, came back this week. You know, we had a number of new issues, and they all seem to be to do well. That is also, a very bullish sign. Again, at some point, the underwriters will start putting the junk out there, and we'll have too much supply, and that could, you know, trigger some selling as people look to sell their winners to raise funds for these IPOs, or an IPO fails. But that was a pretty notable comeback for the IPO market this week.
Another Zoom. We have a Zoom Info.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Right. Which one was that? It's not Zoom technology.
Zoom Info.
Uh-huh. This is like, you know, a couple of years ago, all you had to do is attach cryptocurrency or Bitcoin to your name and your stock rally. Now, I guess Zoom is the new crypto in that
sense. And we had Vroom also. Which is
what was
another
that?
One today. It's a Carvana competitor, I believe. Someone correct me
that's
if I'm
right.
wrong.
There. Yes, no, that's right. That's right. It's online car buying, yes.
That is VRM. Correct. I used Vroom recently.
Really?
I ended up buying from Carvana, but I played the two against each other, and Carvana eventually gave me the better deal. So,
interesting. Cool. Well, that's a good place to close, I guess. Thank you all for listening, and we look forward to speaking to you again next week.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.